2025. It is now 5:05. So we're going to call the meeting to order and then go around to see who's here. So we have Courtney Huggins here, Connie Gibson, Lisa Harris, Spencer Smith, Library Director, Stacey Ridenour, and Catherine Kelly. And I so appreciate the name cards because I'm really bad with names. So, and I'm Beth Beck, so we will start the meeting. So now we do have a visitor. Do we? How does that work?
He's our visitor.
He's your visitor. Okay, got it.
He's my visitor, international student.
He's
just an international student.
Welcome.
He's not here to speak.
Welcome, international student, to McKinney, Texas. So right now we have item 25-2958, which is the minutes of the Library Advisory Board from May 15th, 2025. Any comments about the minutes? So would anyone like to move to approve the minutes?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Is that Connie? Wait, Lisa, you made the motion and then Connie. Okay, second. All right, so all in favor of minutes, approving the minutes?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes unanimously. So now we have item number 25-2959 to discuss the updates on the McKinney Library Foundation. So Lisa Harris will be providing some updates.
Yes, and I will be very brief.
And before that, let me just say that Euphemia just came, and so would you like to sit at the table? So come on up.
All right. So for the McKinney Library Foundation, I was not able to join the last meeting that they've had, but previous to that, they did celebrate their one-year anniversary, so they've been doing really well and moving forward. The big plans right now, and they've been promoting on social media if you've seen it, is they are supporting the upcoming McKinney Literary Fest. So it will be the second annual one. I had the opportunity to attend last year, so it consists of all of the local authors that are coming out. I believe they have, Spencer probably can talk more than this, but I believe they had about 40 people last year, and it seems like we're going to have just as much of a strong turnout this year as
well. Was it 40 authors or 40 participants? 40 authors?
Last year they had 40 authors. This year they've expanded, but they had 90 authors apply to be here. We just don't have the room. It will be in City Council, or in City Hall this year.
Oh, perfect.
Because Hall Library is closed, so it'll still be on this side of town. Just saw a report yesterday, but yes, the foundation support's been paramount in keeping that for a year, too.
What is the date?
The 23rd and 24th.
Of July?
August. And they are requesting, the library is requesting sign-ups. So if you do want to attend, I would encourage you to sign up. I already did.
Last year we had about 300 people each day show up for the readings and the workshops. So,
So where in City Hall?
There's a full
upstairs,
map.
Upstairs, downstairs?
There's downstairs in some of the rooms. It comes over here. So there's some of the readings will actually be in here, set up with this great facility to use, so it'll kind of be spread out across downstairs for those 2 days on Saturday and Sunday.
Anything else?
And that's all I have.
Awesome, thank you. So now we have item number 25-2960, discuss the director's report with Spencer Smith, and we have 2 months to go over.
Illustrate.
But now I'm looking backwards at you. I still got a, this is funky. So so first of all, thank you, long time no see. But to go over June was actually a good month for us. So if you look at, or May rather. So May, we actually increased circulation over May of last year. So we saw a growth at both locations. So if you look at this number right here, 146,830 checkouts and renewals between both locations last month, but with slightly fewer people than we've had in the past. And our study room hours, since we closed Hall study room to store materials while we were waiting, we see that John and Judy Gay study room hours actually increased, but overall we were down. And then our holds were also down a little bit, but that makes sense if you think about hall traffic being down a little bit. And staff had started already assigning new books to John and Judy Gay first and foremost, like all of them, so we didn't have to then move them again after they came in. And so a lot of those people who would have been on hold for a hall copy at John and Judy Gay, we didn't have to transfer over. It was just there already at John and Judy Gay, so we didn't have to worry about that transportation. The Women by Kristen Hanna was still very popular then. So, and then, can you scroll down, Alicia, for me, please, if I can't, thank you. Our May program attendance numbers were low, but we'd also remember called programs at Hall because we were kind of waiting for, it was all kind of touch and go, what's our timeline, and we'd rather be aggressive and slow it down a little bit so we didn't have to rush at the end, as we are now done. But our attendance per program was pretty good, and then we actually made more new library members than any May we ever have. So some of that was just people discovering John and Judy Gay, kind of learning about Hall's construction, asking questions and coming in and getting cards. So May was a very good month for us at the library, and then we can switch over to June. Thank you. So again, The Women, by the way, Kristen Hanna's killing it in McKinney. Like every time a new book comes out, she's like multiple months at the top. And then Atomic Habits, that's been about a year now. We have 19 copies. 19 copies are checked out or on hold, and there are more people waiting to get them. So we're continuously trying to fill that in. And then Wicked was one of our top movies. You'll see June actually had more borrowers than we've had before in June. And our study room hours, again, at John and Judy Gay still increased. Our new library members increased. And then if you scroll down, Alicia, here, the pictures of our Comic-Con, it was a great event. We had hundreds of kids come out. Dressing up through all kinds of activities. And then again, you see this hold satisfied. The purple would be Hall. That all but disappeared. So that was Hall for the first 13 days of June, and then we closed down. Anything now moving forward, you're going to see City Hall. So if you travel across the way, we have all the holds for people who want to come over to this side of town to pick them up are set on wooden frames there. We have a self-check-in station. And we have a self-checkout station set up. We've had about 200 people in the last month come over here to borrow books. There's no browsing. There's no extra thing, but they'll come and they'll get them. About 25% of those folks don't live in McKinney. They live in Princeton or Anna or Melissa, and so it makes sense not driving across town. But most people have just done it once and then asked us to shift their holds over to John and Judy Gay because they realize, oh, I did browse when I came in to pick up my hold. I did want to see what the new books were. And then at City Hall parking. So if you're here on a busy day, there is no really close parking to get in and get it done. We are in the process of moving funds to purchase an automated system that can hold 140 holds at once that we'll set up over here. So it'll be staffless, just a holds locker that we can maintain, and then whenever Hall's back open, we can move it to another location so we can have remote holds pick up somewhere else in town to really serve the population differently. Somewhere north of 380 maybe, where people take a long time, you know, to get down here at certain times.
I want to tell you that I've heard from someone close to me, as in my sister, how thankful she is that she can drop off as well.
Yes.
So she was very vocal every time we had a meeting that it wasn't going to work.
Yes.
So now you do both, and so several of our members at Mill House are also doing the same thing, the check-in and check-out. So thank you for
that. So I would point out again, it's a 16-minute drive to the other side of town.
It's not my issue.
I know.
Just sharing information.
But some people do return here, and we had staff did a great job developing a self-return system modeled after our self-checkout system so we could do that. And then you'll see that June program attendance, most of all the pre-K, some of the all ages, but that's with one library. So when you compare it against just John and Judy Gay's numbers, we literally, you can't do two things at the same time in the same place. So we can't have those same program numbers, but we're excited about that. And then if you scroll down a little bit, Alicia, onto the next stuff. So you'll see our attendance per program was actually on par with last year. And if you go down, the June circulations dropped. So I want to point out, We lost roughly one day circulation, and Hall was closed for half of the month. So overall, we were down about 5,000 circs, but John and Judy Gay was up about 9,000. So John and Judy Gay is busier than it's ever been, and that's not just because staff are crammed in next to each other, everybody over there, but Alicia, she gets to man stuff for us here. But we are seeing people make that trip, make that connection to go to John and Judy Gay. Our programs, again, over there, the Storytime Storyland exhibit has surpassed 20,000 attendees of people who are actually there interacting with the exhibit, coming for the exhibit. Our goal when we thought Hall wasn't going to go under construction was to host 3 a year and have 30,000 people come to them. So we're going to get that with one this year. So it's huge, and it's very popular. Staff has been great. Volunteers have been great. Lots of very positive feedback on that exhibit. So we're excited to see what we can do with the big space when Hall's back open. And if you scroll down a little bit more, it feels like every month I could do this, but I really want to shout out Annie. She is our volunteer coordinator. If you have volunteered at the library, she has made it her mission to know you, to have a relationship with you, to make sure that you are getting something out of volunteering at the library and that your time is valued and useful. And you can see that as you see these growth month over month. So in June, we had 1,100 hours of volunteer service. So for frame of reference, if you don't know, 2,080 hours is the number of hours a full-time employee works in a year. So we had one half-time employee's worth of volunteers in 1 month working just at John and Judy Gay. A lot of that's the exhibit, but they're helping out in all kinds of ways. And Annie has been just great at running the system and getting that up and running. And the foundation offering scholarships and all of that, it all goes into it. But we really see just tons of all ages coming in to give back at the library. And it's really like when we put the budget request in for Annie, we said the goal is for that position to pay for itself by extra service hours that take things off of staff's plate, and we're there already. And she's just done a great job, so I can't speak highly enough of that. You'll notice as you know, I've said Hall Library is closed. It's been closed to the public for about a month now. It will stay closed to the public for another 12 to 14 months. Construction should start sometime next week. If you heard things that sounded like gunshots, it's because the SWAT team came in, because they don't get a chance to practice in their non-practice building. So they were actually setting off ordnance to open doors that were blockaded. The fire department came in and ran elevator rescue. They set a zip line from one side of the library lobby all the way to the other. And I said, I've been asking for that for 10 years. But they were able to use it for training when we were closed down, and talking to the chiefs, it's just invaluable because they have their training facilities, but it's almost like cheating because they know every nook and cranny in there. So this allowed them to do things that they don't usually get to do. And if you went in there afterwards, like, they blew up doors. Like, they blew the door handles off and sent the robot in. It's really awesome. Yes, ma'am. We did the fire. We didn't go with the SWAT because they were just kind of in and out. I will tell you, I knew it was going to happen, and I was in the lobby, and they set off the ordinance, and all three of the staff members there knew it was going to happen. We still jumped 6 feet. It was just like, oh, that was loud. That was an explosion in the library. But they've got that done. So starting as soon as the contract is officially signed, so sometime next week is the hope, Crossland Construction should set up a construction barrier all around the work site and start demoing and pulling things out. We were able, thankfully, with permission from the city manager, to donate as much of our library furniture and shelving as we could to other libraries in need. So Van Alstine Library came and picked some stuff up. Brownsville Library came and picked some stuff up. And what was left went to auction. So we were able to actually put it to good use with other libraries that needed it. But right now, our focus is on getting everything level set at John and Judy Gay. We have a systems librarian that's been vacant for a while we want to hire, but our library services manager, so customer experience manager, who Trevor, who I've introduced you to before, he's using this time with his team to have meetings to set, hey, here are standards, let's reset the standards while we're all in one place so we can all train on one thing so we can be ready to go when Hall opens back up and improve both locations. And that's just been the focus of everything was, it's all the little things that you're like, oh, we forgot to move that. So all the genealogy is in climate-controlled storage. We moved that 2 days ago. The art has been removed from the wall or will be today and is being put in that climate-controlled storage. And then really, we're gonna turn it over to the people with the crowbars and let them go to town. So any questions? August will host the Literary Fest where we invite you all. We anticipate a big turnout. And then as we go into the fall months, you will see the fall calendar come out very soon, full of programs. This will be the first full season that our new programs manager, Casey Falcon, has been working with that, and our new librarian supervisor, Erin, is helping her with that as well. And so we're really excited to see what staff are have in store when it's just down to one location. So, and a lot of outreach. So we've been doing story times at the historic village and different places around. So if you see staff, just say hello. Yes.
Would you mind reporting on the meeting this morning since it affects the library?
Yes, so this morning there was a joint meeting from the director of code, the police chief, and the director of Main Street and the cultural district on basically seeking feedback and sharing information on proposed ordinance changes that would impact how homelessness and other crimes are enforced. Not that homelessness is a crime. So homelessness separate, and that's really what it ended up being all about, but also crimes downtown, which they were talking about Lamar South, kind of around the downtown area, are going to be enforced. A lot of it is code. Changing to the camping ordinance, changing to a sleeping ordinance, changing to like an ordinance where you can't block the sidewalks. So you have to, if you're sitting down, that's great, but you have to be on a city bench or city chair. You can't just bring your own lawn chair and sit up on the middle of a sidewalk. And some feedback on that. We were there, we were invited to listen and participate. I've been in meetings with them as they were developing these ordinances. It's really going to allow police to be a little more proactive. It's going to allow code to be a little more proactive, helping property owners. So one of the proposals is the camping ordinance would change, not allowing people to allow other people to camp on their property. So then police would know and code would know, hey, you're not allowed. Like, they can't give you permission, so they don't have to necessarily wait for a complaint from the property owner to address issues. Which is has been an issue in the past of trying to approach people. So there were a lot of service providers there for homeless services around town, and a lot of people had their say. I highly recommend if you follow Councilwoman Feltus. She live streamed it on her Facebook account. I believe it was put on McKinney Cares shortly after that, but you can watch the whole thing. Just don't pay attention when I have an outburst to correct some factual information from the audience. But I do think Phil is our code director. He gave his background. He's from Eugene, Oregon. And so when he saw some of the proposed ordinances, he could easily spot, hey, here's some unintended consequences when we did that. So here's what we need to do. And it's been really proactive to work with him and to work with him and the police chief and their neighborhood officers and then also with Main Street and downtown. So the plan should be to have some ordinance proposals at a work session on the August 5th. Work session for council, and I believe that's what the city manager said today, and then if there is direction to move forward, it would be on the 19th, would they bring to vote, and it would change. It would be citywide for some of it. Some of it would just be location specific, but it would allow certain just changes where camping gets better defined. Because right now, camping is defined by the state. Is sleeping with a pillow or a blanket, like it's pretty nebulous, and so that's going to get a little better defined, And we can definitely, once it goes forward, have code come here and actually present to the library board so they know what it is. Because I think that will inform, if you remember my request to you for ideas and feedback on our code of conduct, listening to what he's talking about would help maybe generate some ideas for what you'd like to see written down in our code of conduct when we open hall back up. So.
Did they have a conversation at all about the, what is it called, the underground park?
No. This was not about future...
Would that be a homeless encampment?
This was not about the lower five plaza. It was specifically about three proposed ordinances and how it would impact enforcement in the downtown area. So camping would include camping in your vehicle. So if you're parked in your vehicle and it hasn't moved for a while, that would be against an ordinance were that to pass. And the police chief had some, very real world issues with limitations that his officers face on what they're allowed to do and allowed to not do. And if you think about it, what you'd even want them to do, if you gave them the power to do it, that just can become a pretty bad thing pretty quickly. But those are three really smart guys. And I know in the meetings we've had with legal and with other groups, it is as inclusive as it can be with all city departments, because we don't want to leave parks out, right? Or we don't want to leave, the library is in those meetings, which is great, right? And so that's just the type of meetings we're having to make sure that we're all on the same page. So if we define a word a certain way, then we're using the same terminology that Main Street's using and the same terminology that code's using. So when we're talking to each other, there's no confusion.
Another question. Was there anything about the drop-off issues where a location that's helping with homeless then drops them off during the day? Is that part of ordinance at all? Or?
If it's a public location, as long as they are not violating the code of conduct as individuals and they're adults, there's not really a whole lot we can do about that, other than work better with the service providers to prevent that from happening. When that was happening, there was zero communication with us. It would just happen. So that is something that is known, but it's a bigger issue. Like right now, hall's been closed for a month, and if you drive past there are homeless people sitting on the wall. There's no access to bathrooms, there's no climate control, there's no Wi-Fi, the network's been completely stripped out. There is nothing that people think the library attracts people to the area for them to still be there. So it's not the library was one element, but I don't think it was the driving factor. There is a lot around that area, and that was mentioned this morning. They said one methadone clinic. There are actually two methadone clinics within a reasonable walking distance. One's up on 380, I think. That seems like a long way, but if you don't have appointments to get to, you can kind of take your time. There are, I believe, 19 Little Free Pantries in McKinney at my last count, and 12 of them are west of 75. There's the community garden. There's the two low-cost or free clinics, all within walking distance from downtown as a center radius, which all of them individually are great, well-meaning pieces of the puzzle, but it becomes a broader attraction when it looks out. When we met months ago with the service providers, our first opening of the meeting was, here's our mission statement, and homeless services not on it. We provide library services to anyone, but homeless services are that's your mission, not ours. And so I think that's still the case, but it is a tough... I mean, it's a high concentration of things that are all well-meaning to serve people, but whenever they pile on, especially when the library would have 30 or 40 single homeless men staying there 8 hours a day, which is a problem for us, if you weren't aware of that. That's not what we do, but it hid the problem from public view a lot. So we knew about it, police knew about it, some residents knew about it, but they didn't understand necessarily what it was. And now that we're closed and those people are out all day. It's become a much more visible issue. I was joking with a coworker where they were telling me I needed to solve the problem, and I said, oh, I'm over at John and Judy Gay. It didn't get solved. Like, I don't see anybody over here. And I've always told the service providers, John and Judy Gay is just as open in public as Hall is, but nobody makes the trip. So that was, I mean, it's a complex issue that's not going away, but this is why when we asked for ideas for that code of conduct, how we can address behaviors and not individuals, because we've had homeless individuals that have been using the library for 10 years, and in the library, they've never caused a problem. But we've had people who aren't homeless that we have to criminally trespass. So focusing on behaviors, like we talked about, like a luggage sizer. You know, what can we do that's just a universal, reasonable, fair treatment that would address these things? Because we can't open up a $20 million renovated building and have it be the de facto day shelter again because other places just are fine with us doing that work.
Are there any organizations involved in the meetings that try to help with the homeless situation?
There are a lot. A lot of them showed up today. There are a couple of shelters. So Samaritan Inn is a family shelter, or it's for women with children. And there's another one that was there today, and I can't remember her name or what. But that's another family. When we probably serve their residents, but we serve people that they don't also. Single men don't have a place to go. Manual labor serves. There are a lot. I believe I was talking to someone from One Heart McKinney, and they said there were something like 32 places that offered free meals, but they're split up on this is Tuesday at 11 at this location. And so there's not a lot of coordination. That's one of the reasons why we had that meeting, to let them know, hey, in a few months, we're not going to be here. And when we're open back up, it's not going to be the same place. And so there are a lot of organizations. It's just, I think that they have conflicting visions sometimes about how to go about resolving issues. So, and I think that there is a disconnect between, just bluntly, between their view of the issue and a resident's view of the issue. They can view the exact same thing and view it one through a little rose-colored glasses and the other maybe a little not 100% factual, because obviously it's an emotional issue. If you get yelled at walking down your street by someone who's probably intoxicated, but they're just different viewpoints. So there's some conflict there. I think City Manager Grimes started the meeting off by saying, but everybody wants to make a better place. So at least we have that in common. I think there are just different views on what it's gonna take to do that. So.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Spencer. So, any other questions or comments about anything? We're at the end of our agenda. So, would anyone like to move to adjourn the meeting?
I move we adjourn.
Connie made a motion to adjourn. Anyone second?
Second.
Stacy's next to me. So Stacy seconded. So I know. It's like, all in favor of adjourning the meeting?
Aye.
Okay. And the motion passes unanimously. And we will see you next month. Thank you.